Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be His kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you have taught us to keep all your commandments by loving you and our neighbor. Grant us the grace of your Holy Spirit that we may be devoted to you with our whole heart and united to one another with pure affection. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he. Humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Is an everlasting kingdom. A reading from a letter of Paul to the Romans. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil that I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from the body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
It seems that there is a new book that pops up on the bestsellers list, and it quickly rises through the ranks and becomes number one and gets a lot of buzz on the television talk shows, but it's always some sort of title that promises that if you read it, you will gain some sort of insight or knowledge that is out there that normal people don't have access to, and by reading it, you will be swept into this life of success and happiness and everything that comes with that. And, you know, whether it's Who Moved My Cheese or The Secret or whatever, we always have these titles floating out there. I have a great aunt who, for whatever reason, likes to gift the entire family every year at Christmas with whatever self-improvement book is hot on the list. And after the year that The Secret came out and she had gone home, my dad looked at it and said, "The real secret is that we're all going to get rid of these as soon as we can." And he was right. But turning to the biggest bestseller of all, we find that there is a twist that Jesus gives us on that kind of formula. Jesus, in today's gospel reading, thanks God for having hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. And so when we hear this, what do we think? A hidden truth? Sounds good. What is it? And why on earth would it be hidden from the wise and the intelligent, who might know what best to do with it? Why would it be given to children, to infants? Well, I think to understand that, we have to look back a little at what Jesus is doing and saying right before he thanks God for sharing this hidden knowledge with infants and not with the wise and intelligent. This is one of those wonderful gospel readings where I really sort of am reminded that Jesus is both God and man equally. And in today's gospel reading, it seems that Jesus is in a mood, because he comes to these people to whom he is speaking and he says, "Look,
I don't know what to do with you people. John, my cousin, came, and he was this bug-eating backwoods guy, the very image of a prophet, dressed in animal skins. He never ate the wrong thing because he hardly ate at all. He didn't drink. And you people say that he's got a demon. Well, then I come along, and I do eat with you, and I do drink because, you know, I like a party. And you say, look, a glutton and a drunkard who eats with tax collectors and sinners. It doesn't matter who comes to you. Whatever we do, it's never enough for you. Now, does that sound familiar? How many times have you had that same thought? Nothing I do is ever enough. It doesn't matter how much you do, how much you pay, how much you say, how much you save, how much you exercise, it just never seems to be enough. Jesus acknowledges that. Then he goes on and he gives us this little enigmatic bit of hope. He says, wisdom will be vindicated by her deeds. A twist. While we continue to tangle ourselves up in this web of clever ways to please ourselves and please others, Jesus says, wait a minute. You've got that all backwards. It's impossible to please everyone. It's impossible to do everything perfectly and make everybody and yourself happy. You can buy this or that. You can talk to this person or that person. You can read this or that book. But it is never enough. It doesn't matter whether you don animal skins and live out in the wilderness and preach with hellfire and brimstone and walk the line perfectly, or whether you come in and you try to be hospitable to everybody and enjoy the party. It's never enough. Somebody is always going to say, I disapprove of that. Look at Paul. Paul, in the epistle we get today, this very, well, I have a hard time with Paul. He just seems awfully cocky to me. Like he has everything figured out. But yet today in this letter to the Romans, he says, I try and do everything right. I follow every letter of the law, and still, I can will what is right, but I just can't do it. It's a humbling thing to do. Let go and let God. Looks real good on a bumper sticker or a t-shirt. But it's a lot easier to add accomplishments to a resume than it is to stand naked in front of a mirror and say to yourself, this is it. This is me. It's a lot easier to work harder and harder to be lovable than it is to realize how beloved we already are. I have an acquaintance who I worked with for a while as a teacher. And this fellow went to college around the same time that I did, undergrad, and we got our master's together, and after that, I sort of took a break before I went into the discernment process and went on to seminary. But he went right on through and worked to get his PhD and just could not wait. And he finally wrote his thesis and defended it and everything, and he was very, very happy with himself. And he came back and he said in a faculty meeting, well, I would like to announce that I can now officially be called Dr. such and such. And And we all sort of congratulated him, and that was all well and good. But then school started for the year. And this had been put into the school newsletter that he was now Dr. Whatever. And the parents were bringing their children in to meet the faculty and everything and get their class schedules. And one mother brought her young son over, and she said, "Now this is not just Mr., this is Dr. So-and-so. And the little boy looked up at him, and I was standing there, and the little boy says, "So you're a doctor now, can you do surgery?" And before he can say anything, his mom goes, "Oh no, honey, no, he's not that kind of doctor. He's the kind of doctor that can't really help anybody." And I had to turn away. But how often are we guilty of that kind of thing? Now, of course, we should be grateful for the opportunity to read those books that help us to improve ourselves, to do those various tasks, to get more education, of course, because it helps us to grow and it helps us to mature as people. But at the same time, we have to remember that we are to be born again as little children. Adults recognize the importance of responsibilities, but it's very easy to convince ourselves that the mastering of those responsibilities can save us, can make us whole. Children know better. At least children young enough not to be taught otherwise. They know better. They know how much they need help. They know, without any deception, that they are loved just as they are. Think about an infant wrapped in the arms of its parents. They don't have to work for that love. They don't have any concept of that. They just live in to that love that they are given. And so at the end of this gospel reading that we have today, I think God, through Jesus, reminds us of that. In this very famous statement from the gospel, where he says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Nothing is enough. Yes, that is absolutely right. The sooner we recognize that, the sooner we recognize that there is nothing we can do to ever really get to that supreme point where we will be satisfied, the sooner that we're able to embrace the deeper reality that God already knows us better and more fully than we would like to admit, and still God calls us beloved. We are not God. Thank heavens for that. And we don't have to try to be God. We can dare to let go of the heavy and take up that blessed yoke that is not a burden at all. The yoke of acceptance of our own beloved self. The beloved nature of the weary and the heavy laden still living all around us every day. Jesus offers that to us. "Come to me," Jesus invites. "Come, my beloved."
Let us reaffirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten and not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. We pray especially for those on our prayer list. Margaret,
Jean, Steve, Nicole, J.R., Blair, John and Joan, Paul, Marie, Chuck, Jimmy, Martha, Renee, Russell, Jaden, Ryan, Teddy, Richard, Karen, Regina, Irene, Larry and Sally, June, Michael, Joe, Margaret, Laura, Baylor, Shay, Ed, Doug, Cecilia, Ed, Alberta, Tom, Chad, Angela, Tony, Jane, Charles, Rusty, Tony, Zach, Gary and family, Clip, Betsy, Pat, Jim, Michael, Clara, Gary, Georgina.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Hilda Bear. We pray for the EYC members traveling to Oklahoma. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled. And we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. Almighty God, to whom our needs are known before we ask, help us to ask only what accords with your will, and those good things which we dare not, or in our blindness cannot ask, grant us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us with gladness present the offerings and oblations of our life and labor unto the Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the first day of the week overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself, and when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you, in your mercy, sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. When he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy and peace, and at the last day bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Christ, thou hast offered his sacrifice for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Sweet.
we should serve. These are the ones we should love. All our neighbors to us and you. Jesu, fill us with your love. Show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. Loving puts us on our knees, serving as though we were slaves. This is the way we should live with you. Jesu, with your love, show us how to serve the neighbors we have from you. Kneels at the feet of his friends, silently washes their feet. Master who acts as a slave.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.